Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. And we will look at the Word in a moment or two, but before we do, may we bow our heads together and ask God to help us in our understanding of the Word today. Our dear Lord, we are grateful that we have this opportunity of looking into the Word once again. We ask that Thou wilt open the Word today, that we might be able to understand what You have before us, and above all, that we might be able to apply it to our lives. Let us know our individual needs today, and even as we pray for understanding of the Word, we pray for the meeting of the need, that there might be no one of the household of faith who goes without God answering prayer. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We are studying together the Gospel of Matthew. We have been pursuing particularly Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which we said represented the constitution of the kingdom. We have completed our study of Matthew 6 in our last session, and so today we want to begin our consideration of chapter 7. But as you realize, because we are rather detailed in our comments on the Word of God, we will not be able to finish our study of chapter 7 in this study. As a matter of fact, it will take several broadcasts for us to complete the material that we have so that we might be able to know exactly what God's Word says. For that reason, I'm going to give you a little outline of the chapter. You may want to jot it down there in the margin of your Bibles so that as you read the chapter for yourself, and I do hope you will do that, you will be able to know exactly how the chapter falls into its natural divisions. And I might add as well, there is available to you outline studies in the Gospel of Matthew, which we have prepared for you to use along with the radio broadcasts. These studies are available to you without cost of any kind. Many of you are receiving them. If you are not receiving them but would like to receive them, simply write and ask for the Matthew study. We will know what you mean. We will send you the current study and the ones which have been mailed out previous to that. We, of course, will continue to mail them to you as long as you want them, but we cannot mail them unless you ask for them. So if you're not getting them and would like to have them, feel free to request them, and then you will have notes to go by, such as I am sharing with you at the moment. So, thinking of the little outline study of the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, I would suggest to you that in the first 5 verses, we have the Holy Spirit dealing with the subject of criticism. In verse 6, He deals with the subject of wasted effort. In verses 7 through 11, with the subject of importunity in prayer. In verse 12, with the golden rule. And in verse 13 through 29, with a series of contrasts with which he drives home the truth that we need to be living according to the way we should live. For you will recall that we said to you that in these chapters 5, 6, and 7, we had God's program for us. In Matthew 5, we had discussed with you our relationship to others. In Matthew 6, we discussed with you our relationship to God. And in Matthew chapter 7, we will be discussing our relationship to ourselves as far as our responsibility in various areas go. And so, as I say, the chapter closes with the paragraph verses 13 through 29 with a series of contrasts. Keep these facts in mind as you read, and I think you will profit from our study. In this lesson, we're going to think with you about the first suggestion in the chapter, the subject of criticism. I would suggest that we think together not only about the subject of criticism, because we're all reasonably familiar with that, being such good practicers of the art, but I would like for us to consider together what is said in this chapter concerning the cure for criticism. Notice in Matthew chapter 7 then, verse 1, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again." And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now we're going to stop a reading right there, because that is the end of the paragraph dealing with the subject of criticism. I would like to suggest to you at the very start that we recognize in this chapter the Holy Spirit of God is talking about two different things. And we must be able to see that today, or else we will be led astray into the folly that a great many folk have been led astray in, namely, misusing the Word of God, misquoting, misapplying it. So, look with me again at verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. Then look down at verse 20 of the same chapter. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, a great many people put these two verses together to justify criticizing other people. Now, we would like to suggest to you that verse 1 is talking about one thing, and verse 20 is talking about another thing. Putting it as simply as I can, let me suggest to you that verse 1 is warning against usurping the place of God in meting out judgment. And verse 20 is encouraging us as believers to exercise our authority to be fruit inspectors. You cannot combine the two. You should not neglect verse 1, nor should you neglect verse 20. Each have their proper place in your life as a believer. Perhaps you will be better able to see that whole thing is more clearly presented if we suggest the first thing in the words, let's call it the responsibility for criticism. I say that there would be far less criticism among believers than there is now if we would recognize the tremendous responsibility we assume when we criticize. Now, we're not suggesting to you when we use the word responsibility that anyone has the responsibility to be a critic. Rather, we are encouraging our hearts to consider the awesome responsibility we assume when we dare to criticize other Christians. If you can fully comprehend this responsibility and then want to assume everything that goes with the responsibility, we will have nothing more to say about it to you. But if you can look at the truth as it is, I think that you will realize it's a responsibility that most of us would not want to assume. Notice verses 1 and 2 again. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judged, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, consider with me the words judge and judged in the first verse. Judge not that ye be not judged. That word comes from the Greek word krinete, from which we get our English word critic. So you see, immediately we have enough before us to point out to us what the Spirit of God is talking about here. He is not talking about fruit inspection, as some folk would think. He's talking about the sin of criticism. He's talking about you being a critic of someone else. Now, before you tune me out, do not assume that there is such a thing under discussion here as the possibility of constructive criticism. We're not talking about constructive criticism, because that is not in the text before us. So don't try to make yourself feel a little better and say, well, all I ever do is constructively criticize. There may be a place for constructive criticism, but it should not be used as an excuse to water down the seriousness of the passage that is before us. This Greek word, krinete, from which we get our English word critic, is translated by the awesome word condemn in John chapter 3, verse 17. Of course, you are familiar with John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world," notice now, "to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Notice that word, condemn. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. That word, condemn, is the translation of this Greek word, krinete, which is translated judge in the exhortation, "Judge that ye be not judged." And so we're speaking here of criticism in the sense of condemnation. I ask reverently today, do you dare to assume the position of the Lord Jesus Christ and condemn men when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did not come to condemn? He came to redeem. What an awesome responsibility it is to take the place of a critic, of a Christian brother, for we are taking the place of God when we do that. As far as I know, there is no passage of Scripture that gives any believer the throne rights of God that enabled him to sit in God's place condemning his brethren in the Lord. And I would emphasize that we are talking about the condemnation of brethren. Sometimes, you know, we sit in our robes of self-righteousness and tend to condemn the sinner because of some horrible sin he has committed. And we may feel somewhat comfortable doing that, though certainly it should not be done. But this passage of Scripture is talking about something even more serious than that. It's talking about you, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, condemning someone else who is clothed with the same clothing. And I have to stop there because our time is gone, and we'll resume this discussion in our next broadcast. I do hope that you will be able to be with us. May God bless each one of you today.